Wake up, man.
This is Tim Roy, and you're listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right. Thank you, Tim. It's Matt Steinmetz along with Eric Giddings and
Simmer.
Am I talking to Matt or Eric?
By the way, my mom texted me during the break and said, I wanted to name you Eric anyways. Reggie can do no wrong.
What's that for?
That was the boss. That was you.
That's me.
Where's Wheezy?
Who's Wheezy?
Wait for it.
Wheezy? Who's Wheezy?
You gotta tell me where you put it. What'd you label it as?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's just Wheezy laugh. It's purple and orange.
Oh, it's goo.
Yeah, it's in the guru section. Yeah, I'll find it.
We'll figure it out. All right. It is basketball season, ladies and gentlemen. And the Golden State Warriors, they play the Portland Trailblazers tonight up in Portland. And the 2024-2025 season kicks off for them tonight. It started last night with the Celtics-Knicks. I can't watch those games. I can't watch Celtics-Knicks.
Why?
They don't do it for me. Boston
doesn't
do it for me.
The two best teams in the East?
Are they?
Who's better?
We'll see. You got to let it play out.
There he is.
You got to let it play out.
There he is.
And then the my Wolves.
Yeah.
I didn't like what I saw last night.
You shouldn't have.
I didn't like what I saw last
night.
Your
boy's
from
in trouble.
Wolves. Relax. Settle down.
It's an overreaction Wednesday. Everyone knows that after the first game of the season is over or you're headed to the championship, which is why after 7 o'clock and the tip in Portland, we'll have an idea of whether the Warriors are contenders or not by tomorrow.
Sure we will. Okay, here's where I'm going to start. Anthony Slater was on with the Morning Guys today, covers the Golden State Warriors for The Athletic. And Evan and I have come up with five questions for the season for the Golden State Warriors. We're about halfway through our list, but the number one thing for me for the Golden State Warriors this season is, can Curry continue to play at a comparable level to what he's been playing at the last few years? Anthony Slater was basically asked how much he thinks Curry's got left in the tank and whether or not he's lost a step.
Look, he's slower than he used to be. Like, go watch those, like, unanimous MVP 2016, like, 2017 type seasons. Like, mm-hmm. He's so fast, shifty, you know, getting up the court. There's a little bit more burst in a sense, but that he's kind of made up for that with, like, strength and, mm-hmm. You know, kind of smarts and some of his little tricks off the ball he's mastered. I mean, he's kind of mastered the sport in a lot of ways, or at least his style of it, which is kind of why they have to make unique rosters that fit how he has to play. But the big thing is, I mean, you even saw in the Olympics, like, he's susceptible to, like, cold stretches, right? Like, mm-hmm. He was cold for the first six games of the Olympics, whatever it was. He needs to not have as big a burden this season as he did last season. But, I mean, as I'm sure you guys are about to talk about, like, the roster still kind of lends itself to believe he's going to have a pretty big offensive burden.
All right, so that's Anthony Slater. He was on with Bonte and Shasky. And 888-957-9570 is the number. To me, the biggest issue with the Warriors, and it's going to dictate how successful they can be, at least as far as I'm concerned, is whether or not Steph can continue to play at the high level that he's been playing at, and how long are gaps maybe between great games for Steph Curry. There's probably going to be a few less great games, but can the team, as deep as it is, make up for it with chemistry, with grit, and with a togetherness, to me, that they haven't had in the last couple years?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one reason that Curry's stamina didn't necessarily make my list, although, the team is going to go as he does, but also it is because of how well the team played even during his poor stretch after the All-Star break. I mean, that's where they really had their best push, and some of it might have been schedule-related, but he shot 42%, 38 from three, the last 24 games of the season after the All-Star break. Like, those would be the worst shooting splits of his career. And the team, I think, still went 15-9. So they showed that with the kind of depth that really they maintained and I think added to, that they can still be a good team even when Steph has cold stretches. And that was not something that we could say for the majority of the last 2 years, especially the first season coming off the championship. If Curry didn't have a great night, they were done. And I think for the better part of the first half of the season last year, like, there was a stat that when Curry doesn't score 30, then they're kaput. They'd won maybe a few games. But ironically, when he started to not shoot the ball very well, they found other guys, you know, Kuminga. I think Wiggins probably played his best basketball last season down the stretch of the year. The emergence of the Draymond and Trayce Jackson-Davis pairing. Pajemski played pretty well. And now that Klay Thompson is gone, you have multiple options to fill in. And I just feel like the Warriors are better equipped now than last year to handle if Curry struggles.
Yeah, I also think they can be a better defensive team than last year with their personnel. And I'm really looking forward to this year. Let me ask you this. 888-957-9570. I'm talking to Warrior fans here. Where this team is right now, 2 years removed from a title, and maybe the expectations are no longer winning a championship or bust. How excited are you about this season? To me, a season like this, and maybe this is, I don't want to say arrogant, but maybe this is unfair. But I kind of feel like a season like this separates not real fans from casual fans, but I do think it creates an interest in this team that we haven't had before. It's not about winning a title necessarily. To me, it's about, can we go through the season, all right, with this roster and with Steph Curry leading it, and can we get a legitimate assessment on how good they are? Are they the 10th best team in the West at season's end? Because if that's the case, then I think there may be some big, big decisions to make. Are they a 48-win team and they're 6th in the West? Well, what happens in the playoffs? Do they win a round? Can they get to the second round? And then you figure out from that point, well, now how do we get better with some tinkering? But to me, this year is, I don't know if it's a transition year, Evan, but I do think this is going to be the year that in a way puts the championships behind them and enters into something where it's not quite starting over, but you got to reassess where you are and how to slowly build back up and try to become one of the best teams in the West again. And it may be a year or two process.
Well, that's why that label is appropriate. It is a transition year, but you don't know what you're transitioning to.
Right.
You could be transitioning back into championship contention. Maybe we find out this year that this team is a Paul George or Lauri Markkanen away from competing for a title. Maybe we also find out that it's really a great thing that they did not swing big and go all in for those two guys, because this team is actually a 35-win basketball team. And those two players would have put them back where they were last year, which is around the play-in, except you'd be handcuffed because you have no draft picks, you have no future. So that's why I think the Warriors, and people might not like it, they were wise this summer. They were wise to not cash in yet. And I realize that they tried to, and the Clippers prevented them, and then Ainge prevented them. But they were wise to not ship in everything for two guys that might not even get them back to being a top four seed in the West. So I think the Warriors have options right now. And I'm excited because, again, there's just so much unknown about this group. And I think the question that they're going to answer this year is the team greater than the individuals? Like the last couple of seasons, there were individuals, whether stylistically or literally. I mean, you had a ton of star talent, but Klay was fading. Wiggins was absent, and his play declined. Jordan Poole was absolutely the definition of an individual, though he helped you win a championship. Draymond Green, individual, also let that speak for himself. Curry's in a different place, but they were a group of individuals that last year could win, and the year before, around 45 games. All right, so let's see now if this team that I think has the fewest distractions since they won the championship, is that going to be good enough to get them back into the postseason? So that's really the question I think they're going to answer this year. Is the team greater than the individuals?
I'm kind of with you, and I believe that obviously you got to, you know, assuming health, at least to Draymond and Steph, I think they can be a better team than last year because I think they are a better team. than last year. Not necessarily better talent, but I do think that we have slept a little bit on the three guys they brought in Melton, Anderson, and Hield.
Do you read anything into the perfect preseason? Like, it is preseason, but like if someone says, "Hey, Steiny, you know, I'm really excited. The Warriors went 6-0 in the preseason." What would be your response to that?
Well, I would a couple things. I think that the Warriors, because they have a roster right now of 11 or 12 guys that they think they've got to figure out. They have to figure out who's playing, and we'll get back to our questions in a minute, and that's one of them. But I think if Steve Kerr went into training camp saying, "Look, we got spots open. We have a lot of players at the same talent level. This preseason is about who's earning regular season minutes." If he sent that message and it got through, then I think that's part of the reason they won all those games, because they had a different focus than some of the teams they played, let's say, because they do have to figure out who's playing and who's not. And I think there's a chance that the Warriors were simply playing a little harder than everybody else in the preseason. That's what I would say now. But now that the regular season is starting, I mean, Let's just bring it on. Here's what you were referring to. I want to get into this with Steve Kerr. He was asked about Mike Dunleavy and the kind of off season he had, and I think it breaks down into two ways. Do you think I think there's some people that think they failed because they didn't get George or Markkanen, but I look at it as though I think they could be better set for the future by not making those moves. Let's hear what Steve Kerr said about what Mike Dunleavy's offseason looked like.
Mike is fantastic. I mean, he's really doing a great job. I think Bob really mentored him well over the years. I think Mike comes in with a great understanding of the league, you know, both as a player and as the son of a, you know, former coach and GM. So he's got a great feel for people, and I think this offseason showed that. You know, he really kind of weaved in everybody, our coaching staff, our front office, our players, to try to figure out, you know, what can we do to put the best floor on the team, and, you know, what do we need, what are we looking for, and so he looked at everything, you know, and tried to pull in the big fish. When that didn't work out, he pivoted. He ended up getting, you know, in free agency, some really good players with Kyle and Buddy and DeAnthony. Then he's kind of cleaned up our books. He's looking long term. He's positioning us now where, you know, we pretty much have all our picks going forward. So I think Mike is just really wise. I think he's done a great job with the roster, and he's poised, you know, to make a move if something is out there that he thinks can make the team better.
And there it is. There's the last part. I look at that as exciting, because I agree with Steve Kerr. When you looked at this team's payroll a few years back, I just didn't like it. And now if you look at their payroll and how many guys they have making between $5 and $13 million, that was what when they didn't get Paul George and they didn't get Markkanen, even though Markkanen was later. Let's just say when they didn't get Paul George, Mike Dunleavy said, "All right, there's nobody else big out there. Let's get some pro role players in here to give us more depth," and I would call it know-how. I think this team, Evan's got a chance to be a lot better defensively than a year ago. I know they're still a little small in the interior, but they have size on the perimeter to defend.
Yeah, they're longer, they're faster, they're younger, and I don't know. I was a bit skeptical last offseason when they talked about how much experience they needed. And to me, when I hear experience, I just hear age. And
right. There
is experience on this team. I mean, Buddy Hield was in the postseason last year. Kyle Anderson was in the postseason last year. DeAnthony Melton 2 seasons ago with Memphis actually played the Warriors in that Western Conference semifinal series. So they did bring in guys with experience, but more importantly, they got younger, they got longer, and I also think they added more shooting to a team that was very top-heavy. I forget which quote it was yesterday from Steve Kerr, but it just felt like he was referring to a team last year that was very top-heavy. It was Curry, Draymond, and Klay, and That was relatively it. There wasn't anything on the Warriors last season, either because of a lack of productivity or age and decline, that made a team really have to game plan for them. Like, I don't think that teams last year looked at the Warriors and outside of Curry felt like there was much of a threat offensively. And they couldn't guard well enough that they had to outscore teams, and they just couldn't do it. So that's why I think the philosophical difference this season, as far as shooting the ball a lot more, defending at a higher level, that has the chance to make them a better basketball team, though they have less large names. And I think it's also what Dunleavy did this offseason, to me, it's he set the Warriors up to be safe moving down multiple avenues so that if they pick one, it doesn't kill them long term and that they feel comfortable doing it. And that might also mean doing nothing, which I guess they did this summer. But to me, Dunleavy has set up a lot of avenues for the Warriors while they also prove that they can compete or not. And that's what I'm excited to see, because you mentioned the contracts that they have. Well, they have enough of those contracts that are tradable.
Yep.
They could do a lot of different things this year, and they got like 10 different contracts. The guys are also going to compete for minutes. But I don't know. I just, in one sense, it is going to be difficult for Kerr to manage all of this. But on the other hand, I feel like he's excited because of that.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. There's the simple question, Warrior fans, with the season poised to start tonight in Portland. Are you excited? Are you excited about the Warrior season coming up? Do you allow for the fact that with better pieces, and you hit the nail on the head, they might not have more talent, but they might have more talent, but they don't have the names. You know, they two guys who are going to the Hall of Fame are not on the roster anymore. But with all due respect, their names kind of more than their games right now. And I absolutely think there's a chance that with the new guys who they brought in here, along with the younger guys taking a step, that they can be a better team than last year, more cohesive, you know, less losses late in games when they didn't play as smart as they probably should have. I think they're going to be a smarter team this year. So I'm interested to know, 888-957-9570, how energized is the Warrior fan base? Because times are changing. It's been 2 years since they won a title. And there's no more Durant. There's no more Clay. And all the names from the past have changed a little bit. But I'm a monster believer in chemistry, in fit, and in teams that get along. And if those things happen, I think this team can be better than last year.
Well, I think they've already checked a couple of those boxes. And the reason being, there's no doubt that this team is going to have questions about who needs to play and when and for how many minutes.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. But I think they're more equipped as a roster to handle those conversations, because I'll just put the rat on the table, brought to you by Echo. There's less egos on this team now.
Right.
There's less agenda-driven players on this team. With all due respect to Klay Thompson, his contract and his future and Klay hung over this organization for the better part of the last 2 years. Chris Paul, to some extent. Are you coaching? Like, that was the first thing that he said to the media. And while I think he generally did a pretty good job, and I also think he was a great mentor to younger players, he wanted to play. You know, he wanted to be on the floor in crunch time, sometimes when the Warriors didn't need him to. And removing those two pieces also removes, and I don't mean to come down his road, but it removes the option for Kerr to lean into veteran-laden players. Now, he still has some of those guys, and who knows? He might favor Slo-Mo over, I don't know, Moody or Kuminga.
Sure.
He might favor Melton over Pajet. I don't know. But not having those two guys that he basically are just dangling in front of him. Oh, well, I don't know. Let's go back to Clay. Let's go back to Chris Paul. Those are distractions now removed from this team. So there's less agendas. There's less egos. And so I think that when we're wondering why someone isn't playing, that player's not going to be bitching and moaning behind right. the scenes.
Yeah, I think there's a look. When I look at Klay Thompson and Chris Paul from last year, the one thing that I think became obvious at the end of last year, Klay didn't want to be here. Klay knew he wasn't going to be here as the season went on. And I thought he was very erratic. As for Chris Paul, I also put him into that group. Now, I don't think he caused any problems. I don't think he was a malcontent. I don't think any of those things. But I think we all know that he didn't fit on this team. I mean, he fit from a personnel standpoint. They needed a backup point guard and somebody who could play and then slide Curry over to the two. That's fine. But he didn't want to be here because he wants to start, and he's going to start in San Antonio. And I think Chris Paul was fine, but everybody knew he wasn't going to be here long term, particularly with his contract situation that everybody knew about. They weren't going to pay him $30 million this year.
No.
So Chris Paul knew he was a rental last year, and everybody knew he was a rental last year. He did the best he could. He was fine. But those are kind of things that you can, I think, turn into a positive. Let's say it was a neutral last year. You can turn that into a positive, I think. 888-957-9570 is the number. I'll just ask Warrior fans this. Are you guys as excited about the season as Evan and I?
Eric.
Eric and I? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Danny. Danny in Richmond. Hey, Danny, what's going on, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are y'all today?
Doing well, thank you.
Great.
I am so excited to see this team get to be free from their bonds of expectations as they're playing with people who don't really fit on the team or they've been beefing with from, you know, all the contract, everything, and just play free, just play with joy, just have some fun again. Remember when this team was fun?
Yes. Yes, I do. Thanks, Danny.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, you know what? And I'll just jump to this was number. Thanks for the call, Danny. And you want to jump in? 888-957-9570. Yes or no? How excited are you about this Warrior season? Please don't tell me you're the kind of fan that if we don't have a chance to win a title, we don't watch. This is the fun part.
What?
Finding out where you are. How good are you?
There's more reason to watch now.
I do, too.
You can learn more about this team each and every night. With all due respect, like it was fun to watch the Warriors win championships and with Kevin Durant. And, you know, they had four Hall of Famers on the floor, and they kicked people's asses. But how many of those regular season games do you actually remember? Do you remember watching that wasn't for work? I'm serious. Like, you know, I was a fan at the time. I was on the East Coast. It was during the summer. I was doing some play-by-play. So the Warriors would tip at 10 o'clock Eastern. And I would watch the first half, and then I'd just doze off. Like, they're either going to win the game or they didn't care about the game.
And they'd still win it.
Yeah, they still
do. Even if they didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Even if they didn't care about the game, they were that good. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get into it on the other side, Warrior fans. What are your biggest questions about the year? And then simply, you telling me you're not as excited as Evan and I for this season? Let's see where we go. Let's see where this thing goes. It's a team game, people. And we look like we got a team full of players that want to play with each other. That's the first step. 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment also brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go!
This is Moses Moody, and you are listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Matt Simons, Evan Giddings with you today. And the Golden State Warriors start their season tonight in Portland against the Blazers. and it's a new look Warriors. Out with the old, in with the new. By the way, if you are just joining us, earlier in the show, we had a great interview with, and it had nothing to do with us, Reggie Jackson was on the show earlier. He's holding an event at the Oakland Coliseum on 1 o'clock on Sunday. It's the Reggie Jackson Celebrity Softball Tournament. A lot of the greats are going to be there. Barry Bonds will be there. Eckersley, Canseco. Let's see, who else? Dave Stewart is going to be there. And
part of the show, Monty Poole.
Monty Poole
is going to be there.
All right. And
Coco Crisp.
Coco Crisp and Ricky Henderson will be there. Maybe even Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes.
That's right.
If you want to go to the event, you can go to Ticketmaster.com. Or you can do it a fun way and check out Reggie Jackson's Instagram page. And the link is in the bio. So Reggie hoping to get about 10,000 out there Sunday. One final game at the Coliseum. And if you want to hear that interview, boy, we hit on a lot of different topics with Reggie. Just download the Odyssey app. It happened earlier today at 11 o'clock. Reggie Jackson, one of the greats. Of course, with the Dodgers and Yankees starting the World Series on Friday.
Yep.
That was quite timely. Quite timely. But now we're getting back into the Golden State Warriors. And our last caller was a woman who talked about fun.
Danny.
And you know what? I'll just jump to number five on my list. Can the Warriors get back to having fun? There's been a cloud over the last two seasons with this team. And a lot of it's been centered on Draymond Green. We know that. But Klay Thompson was certainly a part of the funky season last year. He's now in Dallas. And I think that's the number one thing that this team's got to start doing again, and that's having fun out there, trusting each other, not worrying about playing time, not worrying about shots. And when I look at the roster, it looks like a team that I could see coming together. But Steve Kerr's going to have to figure out roles, and he's going to have to figure out, of the 11 or 12 guys who are legitimate pros on this team with legitimate skill sets, who plays night to night. That's going to be something that I'm going to be watching, too, because I think that's going to be very important.
Well, and I'll just put my goo hat on. Like, I'm excited to see the unveiling of the starting lineup. I mean, like, who's going to be the two? You know, who's going to be alongside? Is it going to be Wiggins? Is it going to be Kuminga that's starting at the three? There's questions about every single rotation that this team has, and that's why, that's one of the reasons why I asked you the question about the preseason. Like, what does 6-0 mean to you? Because, you know, the other teams are starting to find themselves too. I think the Lakers, they punted the last game, yada, yada. But I do think it indicates that this team is already together, and they're still finding each other, or finding themselves, right? Like, Kerr has not probably decided who's going to get X amount of minutes. Or if he has, that's going to change over the course of the season. But the fact that you're still essentially finding out who you are as a new team, and you're still able to win games, and they're still able to implement what they want, which is a high-volume three-point shooting team, a team that defends and then is versatile on that end of the floor, you know, maybe gang rebounds. They're still pretty small. It's not as if they're a perfect squad by any means. And looking at what Boston did last night, just eviscerating the New York Knicks, does make you remember, it's like, oh, well, all right. Like, that's the class of the NBA. Watching last night, even, the Timberwolves and the Lakers, those look like two pretty competitive groups. We're not going to see that tonight in Portland, but I do think that it's a nice, soft landing spot for the beginning of the year for a team that it still has some work to do to figure out who these guys are.
Absolutely. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's head out to, let's go to Eric. Eric is in Mountain View. Wants to talk about his excitement level for the Golden State Warriors. What's up, E?
Hey, what's up, guys? Always appreciate your thoughts. Just want to say, long-time Warriors fan. I've been through the good and the bad and the worst, but I'm excited. However, it's all contingent on Wiggins and Draymond, you know? Like, when the things are going to get tough, and which it will this season, how's Draymond going to react to that, and where's Wiggins mentally? I mean, those are my concerns in regards to this season.
Well, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. And thank you for the call, Eric. Appreciate it. I mean, if Draymond Green and Wiggins have similar seasons to last year, and that is Wiggins is kind of floating and Draymond Green is in and out of the lineup, well, then they're in a little bit of trouble. I think we know that, but hopefully the atmosphere around this team will be more positive and conducive to winning. And that's where I think this team's got a chance to improve. 888-957-9570 is the number. Here's the other thing I was looking at, Evan, real quick, is now I'm looking for... I could have sworn I read a Slater piece in the last 3 days, and now I can't find it, where it was almost a throwaway line. But he seemed to say, oh, yeah, Kuminga will start. But now I can't find it.
Well, he was on earlier this morning with Bonte and Shasky, and he was asked about what to expect from Kuminga. I'll just play it.
Okay.
And I think he's going to, you know, be given the runway. Like they're obviously going to let him take a lot of threes. I think he's going to take a decent amount of mid-rangers, maybe more than everybody's going to like, but I think he's going to. And then if they get him out there in the proper lineups with the right spacing, he should dunk plenty. He set a franchise record in dunks last year. So I think the stats are going to be good as far as, you know, what that translates into next year in restricted free agency, or even at the deadline. Because he didn't sign an extension, he remains very tradable in a sense come February because he's, you know, on an expiring, you know, $7 million deal that's very easy to match. If there's a team out there that wants to commit to him as a major piece long term, I think Brooklyn is a team I would kind of highlight as they're kind of clearing the decks. They're in the really early stages of a rebuild. He, you know, spent some of his life in that area. I think that's a franchise that could be a suitor for him potentially. So we'll see. He's just got to have a big year. And the Warriors need him to have a big year, and he needs to have a big year.
Yeah, I know they didn't mention him starting, but it sounds like, again, the beginning, he's going to be given the runway. That sounds to me like Kerr is going to start him, at least at the beginning of the season, until he proves him wrong.
I think you're right. And the question then becomes, is Wiggins going to be the starting two if Kuminga's starting at three? Because we know Draymond's going to start at four, and then they'll have to figure out who's going to start at center. But I do get the sense that tonight it'll be Wiggins at two and Kuminga at three. And that's the other thing that's interesting to me is we know that Steve Kerr in the past has talked about those two guys being a little bit redundant. So it's imperative that they bring a little bit more to the table than they have in the past so that they become more compatible if they play together. 888-957-9570 is the number. You guys as excited about the Warrior season as Evan and I? I love it. I love it. I think with the expectations lessened, we could have more fun watching this team. And then if they surprise, all the better. 888-957-9570. 7-0. Or are you like me of a couple years ago when you look at this team and say, yeah, I don't see it, Bob?
Well, I mean, that was after the championship and I think post-punch. So it was... Yeah, well, they also didn't have a very inspiring beginning to that season, if you remember. I think they were, what, like 2-7 to start, and they lost a lot of road games because they tried out Wiseman, they tried out Kuminga, and they tried out the young guys, and they weren't ready.
Right.
And this season, number one, I don't think they have any of those. Well, they have unproven players in the sense, like, we don't know what Kuminga is going to be. You know, Moody hasn't been given more than, I think, 23 starts in his career. But we have a better idea of the youth movement on this team. Like, Brandon Podziemski played a lot last year. Trayce Jackson-Davis was starting by the end of the season and very may well start tonight. So even though they have a lot of young talent, there's more proven young talent on that team than the one coming off the championship.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Let's go to Devon. Devon's in an Uber. What's going on, Devon? How you feeling about this Warrior team this year?
Gentlemen, how you doing? It alludes to what you said earlier about the fun. I think they're another F word here is freedom, right?
Okay.
There's no expectations. We're not dealing with, Chris Paul, is he starting? Is he here? We're not dealing with, is Clay going to stay? Is he going to go? We're not dealing with a punch. These guys get freedom that they haven't had in a long time, right? Because of how good we've been. It's going to be fun to see. I don't know how much we'll see that here. I also don't want to sleep on Portland because we could very well be in the same tier level, you know. But I think this is going to be a fun season. Unfortunately, I bet my brother that's from Sacramento that we would have a better record than the Kings. It's looking like I'm going to have to pay that man.
Not so fast.
That's going to come down to the wire, Devon.
Not so fast.
Right, we'll see, because, hey, everybody doesn't gel just because you have good players. It doesn't necessarily translate to wins. So, looking to have some fun, man, and continue listening to you guys throughout the season.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Devon.
Well, they got a better record than the Timberwolves right now.
What's your point?
I'm going to rib you about Minnesota as much as I can this season. I hope you know that. I don't see it, Bob.
Look. Okay, who's your secondary team?
My secondary team? TBD.
Okay. The Warriors do open with Portland, Utah, and the Clippers. It was three winnable games early.
What did Slater say? They open with the three worst teams in the West?
It might be. I'm kind of with them on the Clippers.
They're going to stink.
They might really struggle.
I also wonder, for all those teams that are bad, Timberwolves is not going to be bad this year, but for all the teams that are bad, is there more of an incentive to be bad this year because it's seen as a better draft as opposed to last year when there wasn't much? I don't know. So, you know, you might see Utah just start the race to tonight. You might see Portland just start racing towards Cooper Flag tonight.
Well, let me tell you something. Quietly, Danny Ainge has got his own trust the process. Because they gave up last year, and I don't think they really
just screaming from the top of the Salt Lake City mountains. We don't want to win.
I know, but usually you do that for 1 year. I think they kind of. You think they're not licking their chops for Cooper Flag in Salt Lake City? Yeah, call me crazy, but I think he'd be a good fit there.
I wonder why.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're gauging your excitement level this year for the Golden State Warriors. Their season starts tonight. Are you excited? Are you concerned? I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited. We come up with about five questions that we have, Evan and I, for what we think might be the keys to the season. And give me another one or two that you've got.
All right, so my number one question was how Kuminga responds to playing in his first contract year, restricted free agency upcoming, assume. Number two was, how's this three-point revolution going to work for them? How many threes can they actually get off per game and make? Number three was, will Draymond Green be the Draymond of the last 2 years, or will he finally not see red when he gets a chance to? And then my fourth one is, what is Mike Dunleavy's plan? Like, I'm not sure we know yet, because, again, I think he's done a good job at setting themselves up for optionality. And to Kerr's point, he's cleaned the books. He's got some players in here that know how to play. He's got a very deep roster for Steve Kerr to make his choices from. But what's his plan? That I don't know. And does that involve making a big trade? So one thing that Devon actually brought up, I would push back a little bit, this idea of no expectations. Okay. Because there is a player with expectations, and his name's Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So Steph is not someone, especially coming off a gold medal game where he just realized that he might be the best player on a great team still and proved it to the world. He's not going to settle for mediocrity. He's not going to settle for this team not being a postseason team again. And if it looks that way, well, what does Mike Dunleavy do? And I'm not talking about moving Curry. What I'm talking about is what they do with this roster if it looks like, one, they have a shot. If this team's actually good, do they try to improve it? Do they swing big? Do they move someone like Kuminga? Do they move someone like Moody? Do they use one of these contracts that they have in the middle ground to go get a big boy? Or, if this doesn't look like it's going the way we hope, does he choose to blow this thing up? Because he also has the flexibility to do that, too. So, my fourth question would be, what is Mike Dunleavy's plan?
Well, it's interesting. Slater addressed that with the morning group. But the 510 on the Comcast Business Text Line, Dunleavy's done a great job dumping Poole, letting Clay walk, and getting Draymond insurance with Kyle Anderson. This is interesting. It's his team now. And when the 510 put that, I kind of see what he means. I feel like that's another part of this year. Like, the past is now the past. I think we know that. It doesn't mean this team can't succeed, but this ain't Bob Myers anymore and Klay Thompson and those guys. I think that reality is completely set in. But here's what Slater said, Evan, about, you know, is this Dunleavy's team? Is it Dunleavy's roster? Or are all the decisions his?
Yeah, I mean, Bonte, you're around. Like, you know, there's not many people who have anything, you know, bad to say about Mike Dunleavy. I think generally the feeling in that building is he's sharp. He will make the decisions that need to be made, including, like, you know, kind of like the Klay Thompson departure this summer. You know, they kind of navigated that tricky landscape, and, like, you're not hearing, like, grumbling from Steph or Draymond about how that went down. I think the biggest thing, and one of the things I really tried to convey in that story, which you mentioned, is despite maybe some angst fan base-wise, there isn't from the stars. Steph Curry is not, you know, upset about how this summer went down and what was or wasn't done. He was very much in on the conversations. He's communicative with Mike Dunleavy. There's some frustration that the Paul George thing didn't go down, as they voiced in that, and but it's more frustration aimed at the Clippers than, you know, upstairs in their own franchise. And because the George thing didn't go down, they didn't feel it was worth it to send everything for Lauri Markkanen, because they just didn't feel like that would be a title contender, and you're not going all in for a non-title contender. It was, you know, that's their calculus, whether you agree with it or not. They like the pivot. I mean, this team, particularly the stars, they really like De'Anthony Melton and how the team looks. And then there's a belief and an understanding from Steph Curry that, like, you know, if something presents itself, come deadline, come next offseason, he'll be in the loop on it, and they'll pull the trigger if they feel like, you know, it's worth it. And as far as Dunleavy goes, like Steph is of the belief that he will get something like that done if it's available.
All right, so that was Anthony Slater, and I'll just tack this on, because I'm reading Slater's story from a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. Good piece on Mike Dunleavy and everything that's going on with the Warriors. This is Curry's quote on how he thinks Mike Dunleavy is done. This is Steph Curry. It's a tough job. I understand that. But it's an ongoing job. Right now, he's doing a great job. But there are going to be decisions coming up that he's going to have to figure out. It's our job as players to keep applying the pressure by the way we're playing. And clearly what Steph means there is be successful this year and have everybody playing as much to their potential as possible. And at that appropriate time, there will be what Slater and the organization calls another big fish who they could possibly land. And that's the other part about this season. I don't feel like it's a cloud, but I do feel like we're going into this season and something's going to happen personnel-wise. And I do feel like it's going to be more significant than sending Corey Joseph to the Pacers or wherever they ended up sending him. If you look at the roster and you look at how deep it is, and maybe most importantly, you look at what everybody's getting paid, I think there's going to be a move out there. It might be a 3-for-1, might be a 4-for-2, but I think there will be a deal that presents itself where you think you're giving up 2 or 3 role players for one guy who you think can maybe impact the team more than those 3 role players.
Well, and that's why this offseason was important in regards to getting under the first apron, because you're now allowed to aggregate salaries in order to make a trade like that, which they would not have been able to do under the new CBA this coming season. So that's another reason why the Warriors also wanted to, you know, shed salary. But I think that the one thing that I guess I have some hesitance for is, you know, the Warriors are a big vibes team.
Yep.
Like, the vibes are good.
Play with joy.
Well, play with joy. Play with fun. And that's one of your questions. Can you get back to playing with fun? I wonder if Dunleavy or even Curry would be okay with, like, all right, let's say this team does go into the All-Star break, I don't know, 32-21.
All right.
They're playing well. Everyone's having fun. Chemistry's back. You really want to go 3-for-1 and go get a big boy and mess with that?
I would say yes.
Well, I would too, right. but I'm saying that...
But no, I know. It'll like, be a little more difficult.
It is, and I can just hear it now, people saying, well, don't mess with this.
Right.
Like, they got something here. There's a little magic. We're playing well. This team knows how to fit together. This team can fit together. You really want to go on in on this guy, on that guy? I mean, if it's Giannis Antetokounmpo, sure. that's different. But I'm saying that there's going to be a Pascal Siakam out there this year that helped the Indiana Pacers get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but nobody thought that they could win the championship.
Right.
And now they got to pay him a lot of money. And now they're stuck with that team. And that team better be good enough to compete because they're not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
I just think that I would love to believe that Dunleavy's waiting for the opportunity to pounce on a big fish. I'm just not sure that if this team is actually playing well, that there's going to be someone out there worth it to mess with the mojo that they've found.
All right. As you guys know, if you've been listening since 10 o'clock, I'm in a pretty upbeat mood about Reggie Jackson and the Warriors. And then I get something like this on the Comcast business text line.
What?
Are you trying to argue that you'd rather watch a middling team than watch a team that's contending for a championship? That's stupid as F. Okay. You idiot. You realize this team didn't make the playoffs last year, right? You realize that.
There he is.
You realize that 2 years ago they won 44 games. You realize that, don't you? Don't you? You know what? You gotta watch the game, pal. Watch the game.
Could be a woman.
No, I can tell by the tone it was a man.
A buster.
Maybe it's not a middling team, Mouth.
What do you think you've been watching the last 2 years?
Maybe it's a better version of the team the last 2 years, Mouth. Oh, but you seem to know it all. At 0-0. Sickening. It's sickening.
Stop it.
Exactly, Fitz. By the way, Fitz having lunch probably right now with Steph Curry.
You think he's listening?
Shoot around. He's having lunch with his family. Anyway, all right.
He's going to be on one tonight. I get Fitz. Well, Fitz is always excited, but you're telling me you're not looking forward to turning on. Well, number one, Bonte Hill. You know, check out the pregame show, postgame show, but then also listening to Fitz cook up a brand new 3-point call for Buddy Hield. Are you kidding me, dude? He's probably got like 6 in the hopper for this shooter.
I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
Buddy Hield from the Willamette. Buddy Hield from Salem.
This Moda Center is about to explode.
Oh, boy. All right. 888-957-9570 is a number. How excited are you about this season? If you're not, don't call then. And don't text either. If you can't be optimistic now, when can you? That's right. All right. 888-957-9570. That segment got me off track a little because of that guy, but it was also presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts.